Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist.
This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspectives.
And yes,
it's
we do.
Another news episode.
It's another news episode. I have something really upsetting.
So do I.
Okay.
Might be the same thing. I like that we always
we're just like staring
at the same.
At each-
is it not? Well, I can go first if you,
you
want.
You go first.
So we got a message from a listener, actually, and I don't know if this is the same thing that you're
I don't think
doing.
I saw it, so I don't know.
Okay, so this was from an email. I'm not going to give this person's name because I don't know if they want a shout out on the podcast or not, but they asked us to look into a story that I'd only seen like maybe one or two times scrolling through Instagram.
Okay.
Because they feel like it is not being represented enough in mainstream media. And the fact that I've only seen it scrolling through Instagram a couple times would mean that it probably hasn't been talked right. about enough. And that is that there was a woman on a train in Philadelphia or Pennsylvania. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, well, still in the same state.
Yes. Who was trigger warning for rape and sexual assault. She was raped on this train, and there were a bunch of people coming on and off of the train, rode on the train for several stops while this was happening.
And, like, knew it was happening. This wasn't, like, tucked away quietly.
Right. Was filming. Something... Like, they were filming and stuff. So there's, like, on the one hand, it's like there's a ton of
Wait, filming?
Evidence. Yes, like
oh,
with their phones.
Like a security. Oh no, people on their phones.
Yes.
Why was no one stopping it?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? So, a Philadelphia man was charged with raping a woman on a commuter train after harassing her and groping her for 40 minutes, and multiple people held their phones and recorded the assaults without intervening.
Oh my gosh, this reminds me of this case, and I'm gonna have to look it up because I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. But it was like there was this gang rape case in, I want to say, Boston. It was definitely in Massachusetts. And there was this young woman in a bar who was raped for 2 hours with a full bar. And people are like passing her around. And like a ton of guys ended up being convicted for it because they were like, all of you are complicit because none of you stood forward and did anything about it, even if you weren't actually part of the behavior.
You know what?
2 hours
in
of people just letting it happen.
In that situation, I almost am more inclined to believe that that would happen because when something like that's going on, there's such like a herd mentality around like what's happening that you probably feel like you can't intervene or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it's right. Like, totally.
No, totally not.
But in this situation, I'm like, there's one perpetrator
and a whole train full of people.
Right. One perpetrator, one victim. And there's a train full of people.
I don't understand this at all.
You know,
this doesn't make any sense to me.
I mean, I get like there's that bystander effect, like that does happen.
Right.
But
and it can be scary to intervene in something because you don't want to get hurt yourself. I understand that. But also, it's upsetting that then there wouldn't be a group of people to go up against him or anything like that. I can't even imagine that going on for so long without anybody having the nerve to do anything
about
it.
Right, and even if for whatever reason, you know, like this is a person who, maybe you're like, this is a person who's unhinged, like they are attacking a woman in public in front of all of us, like what are they capable of?
Call the cops, you have your phones.
Call anybody.
Anybody.
Right? Like,
why
and that
are
was
you
the
recording?
Thing. Nobody, not a single witness on that train called 911. Police ended up pulling the man off the woman after a transportation authority called 911. A transportation authority like
and
found
he
out
had
that something
to
was happening.
Pull her off the woman?
Yeah, the police did.
Why
and by
was
the way,
this transportation authority person not trying to get him off of her? Like I maybe I needed to be there to understand, but none of this makes sense to me how this has even gotten that far.
Well, I don't know either. I don't know what the situation with the transportation authority was. Like,
right.
I don't know if they were in the train car with them or if it was something where, like, maybe someone got off the train and informed them and then they called the police.
I just, like, to me, if I would hear that, like, I would want to jump into, like, real action immediately, which, you know, calling 911 is an action. But I don't know. It's just, it's very bizarre to me. And I can't imagine nobody making any sort of actions to
right.
try to pry him off of her.
Right. Or again, at bare minimum, because I understand these situations are scary and I'm not, you know, you never know what you're going to do in any given situation until you're in that situation.
Right.
But for no one to even call 911,
no
because
one.
When the transportation authority did call 911, They arrived in 3 minutes. So this whole thing could have been
done in 3 minutes.
Right. So in some of the footage obtained by authorities, the woman can be seen pushing the man away multiple times and objecting to his advances until ultimately, and again, trigger warning, he rips her pants off.
Oh my God.
And that, again, it was a 40-minute span of her constantly, you know, trying to get away from him, moving about the car, pushing him away.
Oh my God. Right.
Yeah. So the New York Times reported that people who recorded the attack and failed to intervene could possibly be charged, but that would be up to the Delaware County District Attorney whether or not to charge these people because there was a crime being committed and they were complicit, essentially.
Yeah.
The man, whose name is Fiston Ngoy, claimed that he knew the woman, though he could not remember her name, and that the encounter was consensual.
Oh, yeah.
The fucking gall. There's 40 minutes of her pushing him away.
And there's recordings on people's phones and things like that. It's that's entitlement. That's being like, if I don't say I did it, you know, what are you going to do?
Right. So the Southeastern Pennsylvania Transportation Authority issued a public statement urging anyone who witnesses such a thing to report it to the authorities by calling 911, pressing an emergency button on every train car, or using the authorities' emergency safety app. Like, there's a bunch of ways to report it.
I mean, I haven't been on a lot of trains in my life, but I would assume there'd be a similar system as like a pulley on a bus to
there's a button.
Stop. Yeah.
Each train car has an emergency button.
Ugh.
So again, if you don't feel physically safe intervening, you know what I mean?
There's other things you can do.
Now, as we just said, the bystander effect is not a new phenomenon. In 2012, a young woman was sexually assaulted on the New York City subway and no one intervened. And one bystander even took cell phone footage that was later uploaded to porn and gossip sites. Yeah. He claims he didn't upload it himself, that somebody got the footage from his phone and did that. But
that is disgusting. Heinous. Is disgusting.
I found this interesting. Researchers have found that women who are harassed on the street rarely receive assistance or intervention from witnesses, but it's actually women who are more likely to intervene than men. Like, men,
that
women
was exactly,
will step forward.
That was exactly my thinking, is that I think because, like, we growing up with that fear have an idea, we can feel that fear inside of us when we see another woman that is in trouble, and so I can understand why it would be more likely for a woman to come forward than a man.
Right. It's interesting though, because like societally it's always said that like women are, you know, weak, and that men are supposed to be chivalrous, like we're supposed to,
but then
there's this damsel in distress mentality that you're waiting for this white knight to come in and save you,
but then
when
there's
you need
also that like mom that can lift a car to save her baby, you know,
sister
what I mean,
solidarity, like these, it's like women are more likely to intervene, they're more likely to step in, because we would want someone to step in for us.
Exactly. You know? Well, and then also you bring up a good point, because they would always say to yell fire instead of like rape or something like that, because that people would want to come and help you if there's something like that going on, whether or if there's a, you know, an attack going on, they don't want to get involved.
Yeah And I understand like that apathy that happens when you ride public transit, right? Like, I rode the public bus for years when I first moved to Los Angeles.
And there's crazy shit that happens on public transportation all the time, but this is another level.
Exactly. Like, that's what I was thinking. You know, I rode public transit for a very long time. You see some wild shit. You do get into this routine of just like, mind my business, put in my headphones, wear my sunglasses,
block
keep my head
out.
Down, like block this out, because, you know, You're just trying to get somewhere.
Well, because you need to live your life. You can't be so invested in all the drama that's going on the bus on your way to work, or else it'd be exhausting.
Right.
You have to just keep to yourself.
But something like this, to not even like alert someone immediately, call somebody. Like, it's just terrifying. And I feel so horrible for that woman. She was taken to the hospital. I don't know what happened after that. The man is still in prison or in jail. He was not able to make bail. I think his first court appearance is next week. But
wow.
But thank you to the listener who brought that to our attention.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a lot about that. I think that it is an important conversation to be having, because this is something that happens, and happens more often than we'd like to admit.
Right. Well, I also have a story that I feel isn't getting enough attention in the news, and it's also devastating. In January of 2020, a parent contacted the Hanawai Elementary School in Honolulu to complain about a drawing made by a girl and demanded the staff to call the police. When the police arrived, the girl, who was identified as NB, was handcuffed with excessive force and taken to the police station. She was 10 years old. The mother
for a drawing.
For a drawing. All of this is very intense. The mother was called by the school, but was not allowed to see her daughter, nor was she informed that her daughter was, quote, handcuffed in front of staff and her peers, placed into a squad car, and taken away. Her mother says, I was stripped of my rights as a parent, and my daughter was stripped of her right to protection and representation as a minor. My daughter and I are traumatized from these events, and I'm disheartened to know that this day will live with my daughter forever. This incident actually made them move out of the state. So, yeah, it's bad. So, allegedly, the drawing was of a girl who had been bullying this girl that made the drawing. And so it's kind of like, I guess, some offensive drawing she made of another classmate. And the little girl admitted that, yes, like, I drew this picture, but there were other people that were like writing on it and drawing on it and coloring on it. Like, it wasn't just me. And then so what happened was the little girl and like the friends like made this drawing, but she obviously didn't want the subject of the drawing to see it. But somebody else like took it away from her and gave it to the girl. And so I'm assuming that it was probably this other girl's mom or other student's mom that was the one that was so upset. And for some reason, convinced the school to call the police.
I obviously don't know what was on this drawing. Like, I don't know. It must have been pretty bad or pretty graphic in order for them to feel like they needed to call the authorities. Like, yeah. That's wild. But
I can't even picture what drawing would be bad enough that you would have to call the police.
Agreed.
Like, and it's not take them to the principal.
It's not the police's job regardless. Like,
no.
If you feel like this is something that you need to look further, this is a child who's 10 years old.
Yeah.
So what you can do is you can call in the parents. You can sit down with some counselors.
Exactly.
You can talk through like what
alert
is this?
The principal and other administrators and mm-hmm. things like that. But calling the authorities doesn't make any sense. And it was in front of teachers, students, peers.
Because it's
that
a child. Like, clearly something is going on. If it's violent imagery, you need to talk about that.
Right.
Work through it with the kid and the parents.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's, to me, that's just.
Yeah. And the way that I read it was that, like, this girl that drew the picture was being bullied by the person that she drew the picture of. So it could have even been just like, I hate this person because they're being mean to me, so I'm going to draw a mean picture about them. But I don't really want them to see it. And then they did. You know, I don't really need to see the picture, but knowing what was involved in the picture would be really helpful. But the broader, you know, point of all of this is that a 10-year-old girl should never be aggressively handcuffed and shoved into a squad car from her classroom.
Right.
You're absolutely ridiculous.
You are not developed mentally enough probably to even understand like the repercussions of something like that, regardless of what you drew.
Right. And now she's being taken away in a squad car and makes no sense.
So was the school, were they like,
they were like,
reprimanded in any way?
I didn't read anything about the school, but I do know that the ACLU is stepping in. So I'm hoping that now that the ACLU is part of things, maybe this story will be given more information to the public and things like that, because there really wasn't a whole lot out there. But the ACLU did release a statement, and they are demanding policy changes across the school district, including banning staff from calling police on students from minor infractions, which I feel like should just like be a policy anyways.
Again,
we had like gang members and stuff in my high school. I don't remember the police ever. I mean, we had like cops on campus sometimes, but I don't remember there ever being like intense
moments. Shouldn't be their job. Like, I think that that's something that we've discussed many times on this podcast. When you're talking about defunding the police and what that means, part of that is that it shouldn't be their job to be showing up to things like this.
Yeah.
Like, they're not equipped to handle this. They're not trained to work with children in this way.
Yeah.
So like, why are they doing the job of like, you know, a child care worker or a social worker, you know, like
exactly.
Why?
Well, and I think a big reason is it's something that we've discussed a lot on this show is the fact that young black boys and girls are not seen the same as young white boys and girls are. They're seen as being, you know, that they can be held accountable for things. They're seen as older, more grown, more mature, and all these things, which is not the case, as we've discussed many times on the show. So that was a big topic of conversation in the CNN article that I was reading about all of this, was about how, you know, why this young girl was probably arrested rather than having some other sort of disciplinary action taken against her. So I'm going to be keeping an eye on this. I really would love to know more information. They're also asking for $500,000 in damages for the child and her mother. And I just really hope that little girl is okay. It breaks my heart that they had to move away.
Yeah.
And this girl for the rest of her life is going to have that memory of what she was put through.
Yeah. It's levels of trauma. It's for sure.
So traumatizing. Because
there's the incident, and then there's also, you know, now you've been removed from your environment, like all of your friends.
Yeah.
Where you thought was maybe, I don't know her story, but like where you thought was maybe a safe place, you're realizing isn't a safe place. You're realizing that people who you've been told are there to protect you, like teachers, might not protect you.
Exactly.
You know, all of that stuff is a lot to process as
and
a
10-year-old. And in a young mind, like that's incredibly overwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So I wanted to talk about today, the House found Steve Bannon in contempt, in contempt of court for defying a January 6th inquiry subpoena. So members of the investigative committee on the deadly January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol subpoenaed former White House chief strategist, senior counselor to Donald Trump, and raging white supremacist Steve Bannon to testify in court, as they believe that he has crucial information about the plans to undermine Joe Biden's victory.
Oh, totally.
So he had conversations with Trump in which he urged the former president to focus his efforts on January 6th.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, you know, this is where you need to be putting your energy.
And then
they also have him on his radio show or podcast or whatever he has the day before, basically saying like, everybody better buckle up. Like, those weren't the words, but that's basically
but something
said,
like that.
Prepare for, I think he said like all hell to break loose tomorrow. So
Steve Bannon is in that Q documentary on HBO a lot. The they talk about him a bunch in that documentary.
He's terrible.
Yeah, he really is.
So instead of, you know, he was subpoenaed to show up by the House, and he was like, nah,
I'm just not gonna go.
He just straight up didn't go. Like, just straight up didn't go, didn't show up to the hearing.
All right.
And because of that, on Thursday, the House voted to hold him in contempt of court and recommended he face criminal charges for refusing to cooperate with the investigation. Like, they were like, no, not on our watch.
No.
So this vote to hold him in contempt was mostly along party lines.
Yeah.
It was 229 to 202 with only 9 Republicans voting with Democrats.
Wow.
Most Republicans have been very intent. Like, if you watch anything about this, like, all of them are downplaying January 6th.
Oh, yes.
Even the ones, or not all of them, but a lot of the ones who immediately after were like, this is shameful. This isn't who we are as Republicans. Now they're like, come on,
it
you guys.
It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that big a deal. Everybody just needs to calm down, right?
Let's play the footage.
Yeah, exactly. So they're totally, like, whitewashing the events, despite the fact that it was the deadliest attack on the Capitol in 2 centuries.
Wow.
The question of what will happen to Steve Bannon will now go to the Justice Department, where the Attorney General Merrick Garland declined to say whether or not he would move forward with charges. So it's kind of up to him. He said, we'll apply the facts in the law and make a decision consistent with the principles of prosecution. So
that's not answering.
It's not. And I'm just like, I think it's pretty clear. Like, he was subpoenaed to testify.
If any Joe Schmo didn't show up to court, that's exactly what would happen.
Right.
You know?
So Joe Biden, for his part, has said that he supports prosecuting those who do not cooperate with the investigation. Bannon could face, this was not confusing, but I was just like, wow, that's a big, it's a wide range here.
Oh, what is
it? He could face a fine of $100,000 to $100,000 and a jail sentence ranging from 1 month to 1 year.
Oh.
If he refuses to comply. So It's a big difference there.
Yeah.
In time and
I don't know how
money.
You would decide that either.
I think it's because, at least in this article I read, they were kind of lumping all like misdemeanor charges together.
Right.
And a misdemeanor could mean a lot of things. So it's like $100 to $100,000.
Guess so. And then a judge is just going to have to decide.
Yeah. I truly think that Steve Bannon thought that nothing was going to happen to him because they've worked very hard. The Republicans have worked very hard and continue to work very hard at sweeping all of this shit under the rug, right? Like, they're like, hey, again, it's not a big deal. Like, let's not talk about it. Let's make sure that the American people move on to other things because we don't want them thinking too hard about this fucking insane thing that happened.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like...
On our soil. Like, I feel it's like crazy.
Even for myself... Sometimes I just forget and I'm like, nah, like that was a massive deal.
I was glued to my television all day being like, what is happening?
Right. It was an attempt to overthrow our democracy.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's a terrorist attack at our nation's capital.
Yeah.
With all of our people
inside.
Again,
I say roll the footage because it is terrifying.
People died.
I just remember the one of the officers that was getting like smashed into a door.
Yeah.
There was one person that just got like was trying to break through a door and then just got shot while they were trying to break through. Like there's so
horrifying.
Many things that were just on our TVs all day that were so traumatizing and terrible.
Right.
They
listen,
would have to work pretty hard to get people to really forget about
it. I detest Mike Pence.
Yeah.
But when you have people of that person's own party basically saying, hang Mike Pence, like they're chanting to
well, because
hang
they
the
were
vice president.
They were so mad that he went.
Right. He's a traitor to them. But like, I hate that man.
Yeah.
But like, that's a scary thing.
Yes.
Like, your country, you have members of your country who've broken into the Capitol, are within, you know, probably 100 feet of the vice president chanting, hang the vice
Mike
president.
Pence, yeah.
Like, that's terrifying. And I don't think we should forget it. And I don't think we should let people off the hook. And I think that all of the Republicans who are too scared of their own party and or Donald Trump to stand up for themselves.
Like, what? I just don't get how Trump still has such a hold over these people. He's not here anymore.
Because he has a hold over the party.
I know, but it's just like in...
They need him still.
Yeah, but just in like regular knowledge, I'm looking at it and I'm like, he really means nothing right now. I wish they could see that. Like,
he does,
means
though.
Nothing.
But he does, though. That's the problem. Because like Donald Trump is the modern Republican Party, unfortunately. Like MAGA is the modern Republican Party. And like they fucking know that. And like they know that they can't publicly in a lot of their districts. They're still loyal to Trump. A lot of those people still think Trump is the president or should be the president, is the rightful president. So if they go against him publicly, those people won't vote for them. It's all politics. They want to be voted in again.
Yeah.
You know, and like...
At what cost? Your soul?
Yes, their souls are long gone. Long gone.
I was like literally just talking to my friend about how I can't even lie because my Catholic guilt is so strong. Like if I lie, there has to be like some semblance of truth there or else I'm going to come back and be like, I'm so sorry, I did it. Like to imagine somebody that's so heartless, I can't even wrap my brain around that.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, that's all I've got.
I do have one little update. We don't need to go into it too much because we have discussed this topic a lot. But because of that, I did want to bring up the fact that, when I took my notes earlier today, it was human remains were found to be thought to be Brian Laundrie's. And while I was at work, I saw that it had been confirmed through dental records that it was in fact Brian Laundrie. Investigators also found a backpack and a notebook belonging to Laundrie near the remains. And this is something that I was a little bit confused about because I guess his parents for a while were telling the FBI to search in the exact location that they found him. But they said that it was like flooded or something like that. It was underwater. And then it recently reopened and then they were able to search it. But I'm like, there's water searches all the time. Like you couldn't still... Like, if the parents are like, this is probably where he is, why wouldn't you have searched there?
I don't know.
Before. Like, that's what's
maybe
kind of...
Maybe they didn't have the money, like, the resources to get in there because of the
water.
I mean,
this is such a huge case, though. I don't know. Like, that just was kind of surprising to me. And
I think it's still up to local departments and what's available to them, though. Unless the FBI.
Yeah, that's the thing. But I did want to just touch on this really interest. I just wanted to touch on this really quickly because I think there's something about murder suicides that we all have a really hard time understanding, especially when finding out that someone who has all the answers is no longer with us anymore. It's hard to think about a way to get justice for Gabby Petito when her murderer is gone, you know, and probably didn't leave details as to what happened or anything like that. So I think about, you know, Gabby's family and what they must be going through. And I was doing some reading about murder suicides because it's something that's so hard to understand. And I was reading that it's only about 20% of the cases of murder suicide that have to do with mental illness. But they are saying that domestic cases, typically manic depression or depression, does appear to play a significant role. And those are usually impulsive and committed by fits of rage or jealousy. Because to me, I kept thinking the whole time that I'm like, he's going to kill himself. And Max was like, no, he's running. He's hiding. Like, he doesn't want to go. He's too selfish to do something like that. And I was like, I don't know. I think he's going to, because he's going to be too much of a coward to come forward. And that was exactly what happened. But I just wish I could understand his mindset of why he did. I mean, not even just why he killed Gabby, but then also, why did you do all these other things afterward, which made your situation so much worse?
I think it's really difficult for people to own up to what they've done. And I think that you can, I think if you can compartmentalize well enough, you can convince yourself that if you just keep going, if you just keep living your life, that everything will be fine, that everything will just go back to normal.
Yeah.
You'll just put it off for one more day, procrastinate for one more day, don't tell anybody for one more day, because the longer you can go without telling anyone what happened or admitting what happened, the longer your life doesn't have to change.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's why he didn't say anything for so long.
Well, yeah, that's why he was running and things like that. But for me, it
doesn't make sense to us, because we're like, obviously you come back from a road trip that you went on with your fiance. Without your fiance, people are going to have questions. Like,
yeah,
that it's not just going to go away. But I think people can convince themselves that like
one more day, one more day. Mm-hmm. I know. It's just, it's always very upsetting to me in cases like that where we can't get any semblance of justice or answers or details or anything, especially for the family, who I'm sure just want to have some peace of mind and know what happened to their daughter.
And look at how many lives are ruined. Like, yeah. Look at how many lives are ruined.
Oh, his family, her family.
Right. Friends. He ruined his own life. He ruined her. I mean, he ended her life. He ruined the lives of her family, her friends, his family, his friends. Like, those are people who will be affected forever, whose lives will never be the same.
It was just interesting because they were saying that with like spree killers, it's usually less of an emotional reason to commit suicide after murder. But in most domestic cases, it typically is like almost an overwhelming feeling of emotions and things like that, because you're thinking about all the lives you've affected rather than
personal relationships with these people.
Exactly. Yeah. And then also for spree killers, a lot of it is kind of like a take down the world complex, like I'm taking you down with me kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where typically in domestic cases, when there's just one victim and one perpetrator, there does tend to be more signs of mental illness and things like that. So for me, like, I just needed to do some of that research today in order to understand why this story is ending the way that it is. And it's just really upsetting to me.
It's just sad. I mean, like, things like this are, it's just tragic. It's just tragedy. You know, like,
there's no upside to this story.
No.
No.
No. I mean, and there rarely is in true crime, honestly. Like, as much as we talk about it, like,
there's... I mean, I think the only good that comes out of it are things when there can be new laws made, when there can be new places of protection put in order because of mistakes that have been made in the past. I think if we're going to find the silver lining in any of these tragic cases that we hear about, mm-hmm. that's the only thing, is that we can only hope to make changes to prevent some of those things in the future, or to at least better take care of the family that's left behind, or, you know, anything like that.
And tell their stories. Like, I think that there is value to that. I know that there's a lot of people who don't agree with true crime, or what they think it's exploitative or whatever, but depending on how it's done, I really do think that that there is value in telling stories.
Yes.
Telling people stories.
Well, you know? I mean, that's how I feel better equipped to go through life, by knowing its dangers and things like that, and knowing what's in the minds of other people and being curious about things like that. To me, it makes me feel safer. And then I also think that true crime is important because that's how we hear these victim stories, and right. their lives shouldn't be forgotten.
Yeah, agree. Well, before we wrap up, I just want to give a big thank you to Cam Morris. They've been listening for a long time.
Long, long time.
Long, long time.
We FaceTimed with them, like, what, 2 years ago?
Yes.
Something like that.
Yeah. So OG Rager.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much for your card. It was so, so sweet. I got a card in the mail for my marriage, and I really, really appreciate it. It's the cutest card.
It's really cute, and there's like drawings inside. Like, yeah, it was so clear that they took so much time into it. Like, oh,
there's something really, really heartwarming about when someone has clearly, like, they not only were thinking about you, but they also, like, you know, took the time to really personalize it. And
yeah.
I've always said, like, knowing that someone is thinking about you is like a love language. It's such like a
100%
thing that just warms my heart. So thank you so, so much for that. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you to the listener who sent us in that news story. We really appreciate it when you do that. So if anybody else has any news stories that you would like for us to cover, go ahead and email us at neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com or direct message us on Instagram at @angryneighborhoodfeminist. We have a Facebook business and group page. You can go ahead to the business page and rate and review us there. And then you can go over to the group page and chat with the fellow listeners. Last but certainly not least, if you haven't done so already, we would really greatly appreciate it if you would leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts with a quick sentence about why you like listening to the show. It really helps us a lot. All right, that's all we have for you today. With all that being said, we encourage you to rage on.